So, hello and welcome to this special Luton Town Fans podcast with the manager, Nathan Jones. Nathan, good afternoon and welcome to the Luton Town Fans podcast. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Very well.
It's been a bit of a week for you. We'll talk about the football in a second, but you are now a father. How do you feel about that, first of all?
I'm absolutely delighted, to be fair. I mean, for me, obviously, I'm not the youngest first-time dad around, so, but, you know, we... It's been a whirlwind. It's something that's a magical experience, and obviously, you know, we waited for the right time. My wife and myself, we got married last year, and then quickly sort of fought, if you like, and got pregnant. And as I said, we're absolutely sort of delighted. Not the most ideal to be born in a pandemic, but my wife's been amazing, and I said it's. As a lot of listeners would know, it's probably the greatest feeling you can have.
I've got it all to come in September. So let's talk about football, because you are back at the club. A lot has been said about this move. You have been offered jobs elsewhere where there wouldn't be interviews like this, where you've almost got to explain the past. So let's be clear on this, Nathan. This was not the easy option for you, was it?
It was an easy option in lots of ways, because it was a job I wanted. And it was but if I'm looking... or an easy option of going somewhere where it was ultimate positivity and things that was linked with a lot of the jobs. I was offered a few jobs since I've left Stoke. And, you know, I could have gone in the clean slate somewhere like I did at previous clubs. But I wanted to wait for the right one, if I'm honest. And something never felt right with the ones I was offered. It was something quite missing. And then when, obviously... I got the phone from Gary. It immediately sort of reignited a fire and a burning desire to come back, really. So no, it's not the easy option in terms of having to come back to face a barrage and also to have to explain an acrimonious exit, if you like. But it was an easy option, I think, because I believe this is the right option to come back to a club I love, club I know, a group of workers I know, a group of players that I know and love. So from that point of view, it was an easy option, yeah.
I'm not asking for names here, but how many job offers would you say you've had since you left Stoke?
Look, I think I would be wrong in much to say, but pretty much... every, and I never applied for a job, but pretty much every job that came up since my departure from Stoke, I was approached about in one way or another. A lot of good jobs and things. It's just they weren't quite the right ones. But look, it's not me to say about this approach is. To be fair, I've been reasonably fortunate, and I've had a lot of interest throughout my career and coaching career in terms of, you know, working and so on. But I don't know. This just had a pull to it. Now, I wasn't expecting when I turned work down. I wasn't expecting this to happen. They just at the time what weren't right. If the right one had come up, yeah. And think I would have taken a job. I wasn't just waiting for this job to come up, but when it did come up, then and when I was approached, you know, by the club, I wanted it. I knew I wanted it, and things, and that came out a bit out of the blue, if I'm honest.
Well, it makes it real, the fact that you have had offers and this is the one that you've gone with, which I think says a lot. Now, this is a clip of you talking to me after the League Two promotion party. Listen to this, Nathan.
Promotion, young, up-and-coming manager. You're not going anywhere, are you?
Look, I'm not fly-by-night manager. I want to build something. I've started to build something here and I want to see that through. Now, you can never say never, because literally If something ridiculous came, then it would tempt. But nah, look, in all realism, I want to build something here. So I'm very proud of my club. I'm very proud of the job that we do in here, and I love being here, because there's sanity here. I've got a great board that trust me with decision making, and that's all football decision making. I keep them informed on everything, but I get no pressure from them. The biggest pressure I get is from myself and what I want to do. I'm really happy. This is for me, it's heaven to be here with what I have, and I love my group of players. I love the surroundings I have. The fans have taken to me, and I think I've rewarded them, and they've responded to me. It's a wonderful place. Why would I look, you know?
No Luton Town fan would doubt your ability to be a manager at the club, but there are a lot of fans who are doubting how they can trust you again. What would you say to those fans, Nathan?
Well, look, let's just take it back and give it a little bit of background, really. I mean, look, I came in and I understand. Look, first of all, I understand the furore, really, and all the bad feeling. I really do, because the exit, the way it was handled by myself and certain things that happened over a crazy 4 or 5 day period, that was entirely my fault. And I regret that wholeheartedly. I'm very remorseful for that. And I regret that wholeheartedly. And going back, look, I do things totally different in every way.
And we all make mistakes. We all, as human beings, make mistakes. And let's be clear on that as well.
And yeah, and it wasn't just a mistake. It was just the way I handled a few things. It's not just an individual mistake that just happened. You know, I did something wrong on a spur of a moment. It didn't. Look, this is over a 3 or 4 or 5 day period where I had to make some decisions that I handled some, and it was a real whirlwind. It was a mental 3 or 4 days. It really, really was. And after the real, you know, tranquility of we just played Sheffield Wednesday, I gave them a few days off. I took my wife to Brighton. She was obviously my fiance then, and everything was cool. We're moving along. As I said, so it was that 5 day period that was a real crazy, 4 day period, a real crazy time. And look, I made a few errors of judgment in terms of how I handled that. And I've learned from that. But as I said before, my commitment to the club should never ever have been questioned. It was just that time, and I had a great job here. We had opportunity to leave, and we never thought of it because they were never significantly the right ones to move from this a great project we were starting here, and we were sort of. Wasn't even in the medium term, really, but around the medium term of this project. So it was a real tough week, and we'll obviously go through, I think, the events and so on. But
we'll talk about the show in a second. But how can those fans trust you again, Nathan?
I came here, and we were 18th in League Two. There was, I think, about 6,500 fans in the stadium. I remember, you know, they would have welcomed me with sceptic optimism. I remember first few games, and you know, I got hammered by the fans walking off after a 1-1 draw with Yeovil, where I really saw progress and so on. So I had to build that trust. So when they say how can they trust me? If I make quick judgments on people, how could I trust certain people? That takes time. So we got to a point where, well, we've done good work here. We improved the club on every level. And when I say me, I mean the board, myself, my staff, the players, everyone, because one man can't do that. So we improved and we took it forward. We united the club. Then they saw something in me. And I think because we had such a bond, myself, the players, the board, and then the fans, that they thought, this is untouchable, this is unbelievable. And I felt that way. I genuinely felt that way all the time. I had no intention of leaving. Or moving on. I wanted to see this project through a wholeheartedly because I invest my life. It's not a job for me, this. I invest my life. I sacrifice.
I know, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm big people. I've just had a son. I've just had a daughter. And I'd probably 16 hours with that. And now I'm in Luton for 3 days, right? So the commitment to this club has never, ever, ever, ever waned in any way. So at the time, we were going along nicely. I never had any intention of going. We built up that real bond and that trust. And that's why it was such a shock, I think. So when they say they can trust me, because for 3 years, I committed everything to the club. We built something. And then I did something. And leaving wasn't necessarily the worst thing in the world because, you know, others have left. There's people, players who have left this football club that are heroes here, that I did half the work that I did for this football club. But the manner in which they left, they went with open arms. That's the big thing. I let a lot of people down, and that's the thing I'm wholeheartedly for. So when you say about the fans, how can they trust me again? That may take time. But one, the club have shown their commitment to me, and I've shown my commitment to them. And I think apart from a five-day period, I've demonstrated my love, my desire, my work rate for this football club. And that's what I want to get back. I want to continue that journey.
So to move on to what happened with the shirt, and I've said in previous podcasts, you know, I had no issue with you leaving whatsoever. You know, if I left this radio station right now and I went to a job that paid me more money and it was more prestigious, if you like, I would be given a pat on the back. But not in football terms. It doesn't work like that. But you had your picture taken with the Manager of the Month trophy wearing a Stoke shirt. And I've always wanted to ask you this question because you're an intelligent man. What happened that day, Nathan?
Well, again, it's a bit of background, a bit of context in that, in all honesty. And firstly, I want to say I've never made a football decision on money, ever. In fact, some of the biggest moves I've made, I've actually taken a pay cut for. Coming to Luton initially was one of those.
But with this job, you would have got paid more money to go to Stoke.
Obviously, but yeah, that wasn't the consideration. I'd never come into it. We didn't think, right, this is a financially life-changing decision. Yeah. We didn't think like that. And when I say me, I mean me and my wife. We didn't think like that.
It's an attractive job. If somebody said to a manager, you can go and manage Stoke City, massive club, just come out of the Premier League, to get them back into the Premier League, you would have been a legend there for the rest of your life. So I can see the attraction of that job, 100%.
Look, we'll come on to why in thing, but let's explain the week. Look, obviously, I was aware I got a call from Gary that said, look, Stoke had approached and so on. Stoke did everything above board. They were totally upfront with everything, so there's no blame on us. I was in Brighton. My car was it. So this is the background context to why I got a picture with a shirt.
Yeah,
I had to travel back from Brighton, but then I had to travel to the ground to pick up my car. So my car was still there from the Sheffield Wednesday game. I had to pack a quick bag because I was going up to have talks. So I didn't know, and it was already 4 o'clock when I spoke to Gary. I had to get to Stoke and then get to Luton, then get to Stoke. So it was a long day. Packed the bag. Up I went, and I was up there. I was in talks for a long, long time. Met the owners, met people, and made a decision. Yeah, I think I want this. I think I'm going to have to speak into the people. I think I want it. Then I didn't come back to Luton, so I had no clothes, no nothing there. And then I had to go into a press conference the next day, then take training, then a long day, I prepare for a game at away at Brentford. Then the next day I had to go and do all the press again for the game after being unveiled. Did all that, which was massive. My head was everywhere. We were living out of a hotel, me, my dog, and my fiance. No clothes, wearing Stoke gear. I went to the stadium is where the press was, because not the training grounds, do press at the stadium. And then after the interview, someone said, the Sky Bet are here and you've won the Manager of the Month. I was like, all right, brilliant. Can you do a photo? And in the not thinking, just took one photo, that went out. And then and then looking back, I think, oh no, what have you done?
Yeah.
But I couldn't take it back. There's no malice in it. It was just literally the sheer craziness of the week and me, it being thrust in front of me. Someone didn't tell me 3 hours before, you can have a photo with you. I think so. I would have said, okay, well, let me just take a plain T-shirt. And I was at none of my gear, none of my things, no kit man there. We were at the stadium. So all the gear I had was Stoke gear, and the photo, they went out, and I can understand the anger. I really, really can't, but look, I apologise for that, but that was not meant in any way, shape or form.
So it wasn't a case of like some fans have perceived that you'd taken the job, you got a bit of grief and you put the Stoke shirt on almost to kind of stick two fingers up to the fans. It wasn't like that whatsoever.
I hadn't had any grief then. I mean, literally, this was just a move, a whirlwind move, because, as I said, I was unveiled on I was unveiled on a Wednesday, Thursday to take training, done press after it, had a photograph. This was a whirlwind 2 or 3 days. So I had no grief. I hadn't had any contact with anyone. No one had contacted me or anything there, and returned back to Luton. I hadn't been able to return back to Luton or anything. So it wasn't that I didn't have any malice. That's the thing. When people look into stuff, it was just naivety. That's all it was.
And you've held your hands up right now, like you've done previously, and you've said that you are sorry, you can do no more when it comes to that. So getting on to the grief, somebody posted your telephone number online. What happened next?
I was in a hotel in Brentford. I woke up the next morning. I woke up Saturday morning to probably 200 messages, 150 voicemails, however it was, of just abuse.
Wow. And how did that make you feel?
Well, look, it was already a real testing time anyway. Mm. It was, when you move from a club and you move and change your life, it's very unsettling anyway. So then to have that, it wasn't very nice. And as I said at the time, I didn't really realise the impact me moving would have had. Yeah, I know it. People have been disappointed, but I didn't realise because, as I said, players move. And when players get bought from this club and so on, they move on with open arms and come back and they get cleared and stuff. And look, I knew it'd be slightly more difficult when a manager leaves, but I didn't envisage the hatred that I would receive. Like, but now I understand it. I do. It's just it wasn't nice to receive it.
And the messages that you were getting, were these actually, well, some of them, were they threats to your life as well?
I don't want to make a big thing of it. It's water under the bridge, but they were nice messages. You know, the police were involved and so on and so forth.
It's horrible.
Look, I understand football's like this. Football's like this. I understand that the fans
but it
anger.
Shouldn't be, and Nathan. Football shouldn't be like that.
Look, it shouldn't be like that. But look, I understand their anger. Not understanding why and the certain messages, but I understand why Luton fans, and they're great fans, and they embraced me, and I embraced them. We had a relationship that was more like a marriage. This wasn't just a manager. And I said, the bond we built in 3 years with myself, with the board, with my players, with my staff, and I mean the staff, cleaners, everyone, groundsmen, everyone, was, and then the fans, was more than, you know, certain managers build that with clubs. And I was building that with this, you know, special bond that only happens once in a while. And I betrayed that. So, look, I understand their frustration. I didn't like the messages, and I hope I never receive anything like that again. But I understand why there was that anger.
Well, I hope and pray that you can build this bond back up, because you are the manager of our football club, and whoever is managing our football club deserves the backing of the fans. Let's move on to the positive. So you're now back. You've had a few days with the squad. You know most of the players anyway. What's the mood been like?
Can I just go back on it for a minute?
Yeah, of course you can.
Now, I want this to be an honest thing, and I've agreed to do it because I want to be honest.
Yeah, and you have been.
Right? Now, I made an error moving. Right, I made an error moving, and not because Stoke was a bad move or anything. It didn't, you know, it didn't turn out well. But I made an error in everything, how I handled everything. But I worked very hard for this football club, and we were 18th in League Two when I took over. So I'd like fans to also accept my apology, to understand that I'm remorseful for that and wholehearted, and that I've come back to build that, to rebuild that. But I also wanted to remember that we were 18th in League Two, and I watched. I don't want to be disrespectful to anyone at all, but I can't just lie down and keep getting, you know, hit all the time. So what I want to say is, they were 18th in League Two. They weren't playing the type of football that they were 3 years later. They weren't scoring the goals. They weren't getting the points. They weren't, the fans weren't had that feeling going to every game. So I can list a million things that we improved and how we did things and so on. And that's why the hurt is so deep. So what I'm saying is, give me a little bit of leeway. I've made an error, but I will build the relationship back up. But I need an open mind, because if you judge, and if you judge people too quickly, then you might never grow again. And I believe, not earned, but I believe that we've got a little bit in the bank in terms of the job we did and how we built and how we recruited and the type of individual we got. And we built the football club. We were, really building a football club here.
Yep.
I veered from that, but now I'm back. So I hope that I can get forgiven. I hope that people will be open-minded enough to say, okay, let's see. But the important thing is that we get behind the football club.
Absolutely.
Football club needs it.
And this is really important to do this podcast today, because, you know, when somebody like yourself comes on and they give up their time like you have, you've just had a baby, you're still doing this podcast, you're being open, you're being honest, you're saying sorry. I don't honestly think there's anything more that you can do.
No, I can't. But, well, apart from win football games, build a relationship again.
Yeah, if you come in and keep the club up, that's it. Everything, that the slate is completely wiped clean, and then you're a legend all over again. That is football in a nutshell, isn't it?
Well, that is a possibility in terms of you saying about being a legend. But again, but I'm not looking for legendary status and anything like that. What I'm looking for is to build a football club.
Yeah.
To build a football club that we were on a journey. Mm-hmm. We were a year ahead of schedule. Now, we want to stay on track, and that is really important that we stay up. And I'm not trying to say, look, we did this, we did that. I'm saying we did build something, and we did create a bond. I dented that bond. I fractured it. Fractures can heal. With the right treatment, fractures can heal, and that's what we want to do. Now, I believe I'm the right person to take the club forward, because yeah. I was the right person to get them to a certain thing. Now we've got to continue on that journey, and it's important that we unite. It's important that the fans come back together. We can't have a fraction again.
No, absolutely not. As I say, I think the fans listening to this will kind of hold their hands up and say, he's come on, he's answered all the questions, he's been honest. So to go back to that question about the squad, you know a lot of these players. What's the mood like in the squad at the moment? Is it good?
It is good. It's a good mood. It's a good squad. It's a good group, and that's the big attraction for me to come back. Like, I could have started a project elsewhere. Could have gone, started a project elsewhere. I'm motivated to come back and rebuild and take the club forward again and continue on the journey. And the group's a great group, and that was a big factor to me coming back. I've got a great board here who are fans at heart and love the club, work tirelessly for it. I've got good staff right throughout. But the players are ones that I had a real bond mm-hmm. with, and a day-to-day bond and everything. So to come back and work with the majority of that group, yes, we've lost two fullbacks. People like Alan Shea and Alan McCormack, big characters, have moved on. But the nucleus, the core of this group is still here. There are a few new ones that we're going to have to mould to how we want them. But the nucleus of the group is still here, and that was a big motivation for me to come back.
How confident are you that you can keep this squad up with what you've got?
I'm realistically confident. I believe that we were on a journey, and we recruited with the championship in mind. So everyone we recruited, I believe, could play in the championship and could be competitive. Yes, it was going to be this was going to be the only year since I've been here that we were consolidating. And it would have been, because I'm not, you know, stupid enough to think we could have gone straight through. I knew we were going to go straight through League One, because I knew the side we were. And I believed wholeheartedly we were going to do that. This would have been a consolidating year, but I believed that the group was good enough to do that. I believe that we're good enough to stay up. Now, we're going to have to hit the ground running. We're going to have to win football matches. And it's going to be tough. But I wouldn't have come back now if I didn't think that we could do it.
But playing football games with no fans in, I'm sorry, I can't get my head round this. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's reminiscent of my games for Luton. I'm on it.
In the reserves, yeah?
In the reserves. Yeah. No one turned up in the reserves. But no, look, it's going to be... But everything's strange now. The world is strange.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we come into the training ground now, we get tested, we've got to keep 2 meters. We've hand gel everywhere. It's different, and football's going to be different. You have to. What we have to do is make sure our players are motivated, in a kind of a demotivating atmosphere. Be motivated enough to get the points we need to get, because it might seem like a reserve game. It might seem like a low key game because there's no fans there. It's not the Kenny. Where, you know, and that will be a hindrance to us, because a full Kenny.
Yeah, it's rocking. Yeah.
5 home games in front of a full Kenny, we would, you know, would give us a big advantage. We haven't got that. So that's going to be sort of strange. But we have to get players mentally ready and prepared for that, because the importance of the points is exactly the same as if you're playing in front of a full house.
Nathan, thank you for joining us. I do respect you for coming on this podcast. We tried to do this back in December. The time wasn't quite right. I will never be asking you any of these questions ever again, but I feel it was important to do this. So thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
No problem. And look, and what I'd like to put out as well is, you asked me a long time ago to do this, but I was very respectful to the club and to the previous people.
Absolutely.
Here,
yep.
Because what they didn't need was the old manager coming out and trying to sort of justify anything or try to make in there or try to put something out at the wrong time. And I think you've asked me on three occasions to do it, and I put it off because it hasn't been the right one. So I would like that to get out as well.
No, definitely. And I respect you for that. And the reason I respect you for that is because, you know, from my point of view, I was coming at this from a good place. You were a very, very successful manager at the football club, and you've left under a cloud. And there were so many answers that we wanted. The time wasn't right because it would have affected Graham Jones. So you politely said no. But after that, you've come back and you've sat down. There hasn't been one question where you've said to me, I'm not going to answer that.
Yeah, it was. And look, and I haven't wanted to dodge any questions because I want, if we're going to move forward as the club that we were before January the 6th, 2019, then honest, we needed to be honest. Now, look, I made an error of judgment in how I handled everything. Whether I went to Stoke or not was the right thing. That's not debated. That's not up for debate. But what is the manner and everything. So I'm remorseful for that. But I'm hoping that with everyone's positivity, we can continue that journey and we can put this down to, okay, that was a year which we can't get back, but we will get it back in the future. We can't get it back immediately, but we will get the remnants of that back in the future. And only by everyone uniting, coming together and so on, will we be able to do that. And we had such a positivity in terms of stem from the club, stem from the fans, right through to the players in how we act, because we've got good human beings. You're not just good, not just good players, not just good people, you know, just not good workers. We've got good human beings. And I was paramount in bringing those here. So what I want to do is just go back onto that journey. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk and to say that. It's been tough, really tough. But I hope now that we're just resuming that journey. Thank you very much.
There you go. Nathan Jones joining us on the Luton Town Fans podcast. And there will be another podcast at the end of the season. Thanks for listening.